No?
This year he's not. He said it's
started at the Faraway in North West London, Monday, 13th September, Zion Tishri, Rabbi Yitzchok Shochet. Why must we daven with the Avarionim? Today's shir has been sponsored by Family Green, Le'ilu Nishmas, Miriam Bas Chaim Yichye. This week's shirim have been sponsored, Le'ilu Nishmas, from Naftali Tzvi Ben Arav, Reb Moshe Rokach, Zichron of Rocha, whose Yad Tzad was yesterday.
Before we begin Kol Nidre, before we make any reference to the Avaryonim, we know we start off with Kapitel Tzadik Zayin. There's Hashem Moloch Geos Lovesh, etc., etc. And the question is, why do we actually begin Dafka with that Tehillim? And there's two actual reasons given. One reason is because the Arzeru al Tzadik ul Yishrei Leiv Simcha, so the Saif Oisius, the last letter of each of the words, it makes up the Karas Sota. Indication clearly that you're going into the Yom Kippur now and you want to get rid of the Satan, so you should not be Makatrik. Another explanation offered by the Chassam Sefer is that if you take the Sefer Isi as the last letter of each of those words, Erzeruel Asadik, Eliyash Leiv Simcha, you actually get Rabbi Akiva, Reish, as in Rabbi Akiva, whose Yartzeit actually is on Erev Yom Kippur. We reference him on Yom Kippur itself, one of the Asara Harugei Malchus, but his Yartzeit is Erev Yom Kippur. That's when it happened. Asherol came, we're also wanting to reference him at this particular moment in time. In fact, it's also brought that that's why Maseches Yuma finishes with Omer Rabbi Akiva, Shrekim Yisrael. Yuma, of course, all about Yom Kippur. Dafke finishes with reference to Omer Rabbi Akiva, Shrekim Yisrael, as a tribute to him whose Yartzeit was Erev Yom Kippur. And also Bederech Agav, since we're mentioning that already, in regard to the union of Tshuva, Rabbi Akiva says Shrekim Yisrael, and then he brings two different psukim about how we achieve Tahara. First pasuk he brings in is regard to Paraduma. And the second later pasuk is Mikri Yisrael Hashem Amikrim V'tarset Meim. He brings a pasuk regarding Mikvah. And the question is, why is he bringing two separate psukim? Why is he bringing first a pasuk to indicate about the Tahara through Paraduma, and then afterwards he brings a pasuk in regard to the Tahara that you achieve through Mikvah? And the answer is because there's a clear distinction between the Tahara achieved with Paraduma and Mikvah. Mikvah, you have to immerse your entire body, you have to submerge yourself in your entirety into the mikvah in order to be able to achieve any kind of tahara. When it came to the Parah Aduma, even if it was just a tiny little bit of ash that was sprinkled on you and touched you, that already achieved the tahara. Which begs the question, the Parah Aduma was for Avi Avais HaTumah. When you come mamish into contact, Avatumah, when you come into contact with the ultimate Tumah, with actual death, for that Parah Aduma, just a little bit of ash touching you anywhere in your body and you achieve Tahara. Mashenki, when it comes to lesser Dargis of Tumah, for that you have to submerge yourself in your entirety in the mikvah. Why is that? So Mepharshim actually explained, when it comes to the bigger Averis, when it comes to the bigger types of Tumah, that might sometimes overwhelm. You might think to yourself that this is something I can never do teshuvah for. Asher al kein, you have this distinction. Yes, for lesser averus, taka, there were people who can jump right in and submerge themselves straight into teshuvah. When it comes to the bigger things, you should know that you shouldn't be overwhelmed, you shouldn't be afraid, step by step. A little bit here, a little bit there, and slowly but surely, habol l'tayr mesayin noisa, if you come to actually purify yourself, then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will help you along to bring you about into the ultimate teshuvah. In fact, it's also brought another svarim, that the word teshuvah, it's teshuvah we know can reach all the way until kiseh hakavod. And the word teshuvah is the same gematria as kiseh hakavod. And before you start trying to work that all out, the way that works is that kiseh, that is kof, plus kof samach, plus kof samach aleph, plus kof samach aleph, then hey, and then etc., etc. When you add it all up in that sort of way, then you'll get the gematria of teshuvah. Begging the question, so it's a bit of a convoluted way to do a gematria. We have to add the letter plus the previous letter before moving on to the next letter. And the answer is the same thing. That tshuva also can work in increments. It's not always necessarily about jumping straight into the mikvah and submerging yourself in your entirety, but it's a gradual process. First the kaf, and then the kaf samach, and then the kaf samach hey, etc., etc., and that's how you achieve your tshuva. So that's my way of introduction to Hashem Moloch that's before. The Kol Nidre itself We have to understand. There are a number of different mefarshim famously that discuss the whole underlying significance of the actual Kanidre. The Zohar actually says, Inun de iso layu gzar din benedro b'shavua, that there are people who might have against them a gzar din because of undertakings of some oaths and shvuas that they may have undertaken. What does that mean? By definition, Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, can be machaper for every single sin. And when it comes to sin, ben odim lachavera, then erachanami, that person can be machaper. You ask him a chilo. The one thing Yom Kippur cannot be machaper for is if you actually undertook a neder. If you promised to do something, a certain hachlota, a certain resolution that you promised and you swore you were going to do, and you didn't deliver, that's still going to be held against you. That you still have accountability for. That Yom Kippur cannot be machaper. It can't cancel the neder that you made in regard to a particular mitzvah or what have you. So that's why, as the Zohar says, inun de iso layo gzar din, you might have a gzar din hanging over you for the neder and the shvuah. And that's why kol nidre, that's why we begin in the first instance to absolve ourselves, to do hatara for all those actual nidara. And the Shittim HaKubetzes actually, in Maseches Nidarim, brings an identical idea. He actually writes, V'anshe Knesses HaGdoyla Tiknu Lano, the Anshe Knesses HaGdoyla established the Kol Nidre, L'hasir Min HaMichshol, Ki Kamo B'nei Odom Shenoidrim V'Shechichem HaNeder. There are many people who might undertake Nidorim and Shvois and what have you, and they forget about them. V'Oivrim B'Shegig, not deliberately, Chas V'Sholom, but inadvertently, they are over because they forgot even about these Nidorim, these promises that they made to themselves over the course of the actual year. And therefore, v'tiknu the anshe knesses agdela were misakein shebetchilos Yom Kippur yisvadi v'yisrachatru v'minidrehem. That right from the outset of Yom Kippur, in the first instance, they should confess and they should have charata for any nidorim that they may have undertaken, even if they are unaware. And then, of course, without getting in, huh? And then there's between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Dafka now we make all of our haflotas. We make most of our promises between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, probably, than we do the rest of the year. Fine. And therefore, the Chatchila, you're supposed to do Hataras Adorim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So what if I did Hataras Adorim on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and now I undertook whatever else besides? So this is Kinkashet Mir. It's what the Zohar says, what the Shittim HaKubetzes writes. The reality is, first of all, not everybody does Hataras Adorim. In fact, I would tell you, and I would even suggest to you, that Reif HaElam, and I mean Kipshutei Reif HaElam, don't necessarily do Hataras Adorim. But they certainly come to Shul for Kanidre. Asher Al came. At least then the objective is actually achieved. Then, of course, there's a machlokes. We're not going to get into that now. A famous machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh about the Lashon of the Kol Nidre, whether it should be L'Sha'avar, or whether it should be L'Osid, based on the whole process of Hataras Nedarim, etc., etc. But what I want to look at now and focus on is Dafka, Aldas HaMokah, Madas HaKol. Somewhat in the Mice, it's very strange how that gets inserted. Me'lo Hashem Moloch, because of the Pasuk Erzei Ruach, Rasotun, a tribute to Rabbi Akiva, etc., like we said. And mele the Kol Nidre, because you need to absolve all those Nidorim, so you can go in now with a clean slate, based on the Zohar and the Shittim HaKubetzes, like we said. But what is this? Aldas HaMokim, Aldas HaKol. And then, on a matirin l'spalo the Avaryonim. We're allowed to now daven with these the Avaryonim. Number one, who are the Avaryonim? Number two, why do we need, on a matirin, why do we need, we have to have a psaheter to daven with the Avaryonim? And number three, at the end of the day, who b'chol really wants to daven with them? Why do we have to reference them? Why are we saying Odomatim l'spalam avayonim? You want to really daven with them? So there's a Mordechai. The Mordechai in Maseches Yuma actually writes the following. He says, "Nichnosin lebeis haknesses umatirim chelim." We come into shul and we annul the actual chelim l'spalal to daven together in kol ish shavar al gzeras hakol, to daven together with any individual who might have violated the Gzeres HaKol, in other words, the general customs, the ordinances of the Kehillah, etc. Afilu Eina Mevakesh Yeratiru, even if he's not coming, looking to be absolved, he's not asking for it. Nevertheless, that's what we're doing. We are being matir the Chayim that might be imposed upon them. And then he quotes from the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasid, Rabbi Shimon Chasid says, Kol Tainis She'ein Bo Mipoisha Yisrael Einar Tainis. If there's ever a fast that you are not looking to include from the Poshe Yisrael, the ultimate sinners, in that actual fast, in the Tanis, then you're lacking in the actual Tanis itself. Now this is actually telling you in no uncertain terms that there are certain people, certainly in Amolek and Zeiten, in the Shtetl, and wherever else besides, that were in a state of Cherem. In other words, by definition, they will have acted, I mean, the cherem itself is the ultimate threat that you can actually put on somebody in the kehillah. So when you have certain people who are such serious sinners to such an extent, such avrayonim, so in other words, they didn't care about the cherem, so the cherem would taka be imposed upon them. And now that the cherem is imposed upon them, what happens when it comes to Yom Kippur? Ordinarily, the level of the cherem is such that you wouldn't be allowed to even include them in a minyan in the actual shul. But when it comes to the night of Yom Kippur, we look and we open our hearts and our doors to every single individual. And we are looking in the first instance, even before we go into the Kol Nidre, to Mevatel our own Nidorim, etc., etc., we are in the first instance being Meichel the Cherem. And that's why we say Al Das HaMokim, that's why we begin in the first instance by bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into that equation as well. Because the Cherem in the first instance was imposed al das hamakom with the consent, as it were, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In other words, al pi das Torah, etc., al pi halacha. That's why there was a cherem, because this individual was violating, it was deliberately being married by Kodesh Baruch Hu, was violating the das Torah, etc., etc. And that's why we begin now in the first instance al das hamakom, al das hakol. First of all, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then also the rest of us who might have been responsible for imposing this cherem right now, onu matirim lispalulam avayonim, we bring him into the equation. We welcome them back into the shul as well. So that's just, that's what the Mordechai says. And he quotes, as we said, Rav Shimon Chasida. Rav Shimon Chasida, the Gemara in Krisis, Davov, actually says very clearly that kol tainish ein bo miposhe Yisrael ein tainish, any fast that doesn't include the poshe Yisrael is not considered a fast. And he adds in the Gemara over there in Krisis, he says sharei chelboina rechora. In the actual keteres, amongst the ingredients was also chelboina, and chelboina dafka had a really bad smell. Umonah hakosif im samamei hakteres. Notwithstanding the fact that the chelboina itself, which had a terrible odor, was nevertheless included together with all the other spices, all the other ingredients of the actual keteres. In other words, even the chelboina, even the Pesha Yisrael, even those who smell bad, as it were, are also included in the keteres. When you look in Pasuk, in Shmois, in Perek Lamed, Rabbeinu Bachaya actually says over there, the chelboina rechora, when he talks about over there the keteres, he makes his point that the chelboina had a bad smell. Vachal Pikein, says Rabbeinu Bachaya in Pasuk, in Chumash, nevertheless, echnisa kosev bechlal abzamim hachashuvim. The Pasuk, nevertheless, the Torah includes them amongst the special spices, the holy spices, the chashuvah spices, as it were. Ubol Rame, says Rabbeinu Bachaya there in Pasuk, it comes also to hint to us, she'ein lono lahoka bershoyim poishi yisrael shiloi yu bechlal tayni yaseinu. That it should never be the case that we should not include the poishi yisrael in our fasts, utfilos seinu, and in our tfilos. Ukamosh amru chazal, and he quotes from chazal, kol agudosh ein bei poishi yisrael ein aguda. Any gathering of klal yisrael that doesn't also include the avrayonim, the poishi yisrael, is not a real gathering. And then he goes to explain. What's pshat? Ubir zeki shem shemayim misalo miskadish b'shosh shereshoyim chayzim b'tshuva. Shem shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, this incredible kiddush Hashem, no more so than when the actual Rishayim themselves do teshuva. V'nimnim b'chalal tzaddikim, and therefore they are included, and they will also elevate themselves to the level of tzaddikim. And then he adds further, and he says, she'im loike, if we don't include the actual Pesha Yisrael, onu matirim l'spalo l'mor v'yonim, ha'tzaddikim l'spashim aleya, then the guilt is going to be on the actual tzaddikim. They're going to be held to account. It's on you. Why bnei harvos? Sharei kol Yisrael reivim zelozeh. You can't step into Yom Kippur, or any other fast for that matter, gather together and do teshuvah and whatever else besides, and choose to disregard the Pesha Yisrael. Because ultimately, kol Yisrael reivim zelozeh. And if that avar yonim, those avar yonim want to come into shul, and they want to be, and they want to participate, and they also want to do teshuvah, that's the ultimate greatest kiddush Hashem. And if you choose to ignore that, or to reject that, or to deny that, then that's on you. And chas v'shalom, the guilt is on you as well. And that's why onu matirim l'spalel imor avayon. There's a story told of Rav Mendel of Haradok, who was sitting together with a bunch of chassidim, and they were forbringing. And then one particular chassid, a simple chassidim, they're sitting there, he starts to cry, and he starts to pour out his heart about how he's not feeling so well, and so on and so forth. And he asks them, give me a bracha, I should have a refuah shleimah. So they already had a few l'chaims, and look at him, it was Mr. Sugar. We should give you a bracha. Who are we? What do you think we are? Instead of telling him off, think we're tzaddikim, you think we're malachim. Who are we? Go, you know, talk to somebody else. Go to a tzaddik. I'll talk to the Rebbeinu Shalom. What are you coming to us for? And Rav Shneur Zalman of Lialdi, the Alter Rebbe, was sitting there, and he turned to them, and he was very upset. And he said, didn't we learn from the Maggid of Mizrich that when children are sitting together, and a father sees that the children are compassionate and sympathetic to one another, that's when he shows compassion and sympathy to all of his children as well. And that's the same point, and that's the same principle at the end of the day. So they talk again, brachas, and so on and so forth. The point is nevertheless the same. When we're sitting there in Shul and Yom Kippur, it's not just that we're there for ourselves. We have to have rachmanis on them. We have to show sympathy to them as well. And when we show sympathy to them, then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Father, shows sympathy to us as well. And yet, nevertheless, it begs a question. Because, okay, I understand we have to allow the Avayonim, etc. But let's create a shul with all the Avayonim. Let's tuck in, let them have their own minion, a breakaway, a hashkama, whatever you want to call it. Let them have their own minion. Why does it have to become my problem? Why dafka with us? So quite amazingly, Rashi, in Machzeh Vitri, actually alerts us to this concern. And he actually says, Shamati, I've heard Ein Hasatan Shelet V'Adam Yom Kippurim, that the Satan himself has no shlita whatsoever, has no control, no power over us whatsoever on Yom Kippur. That the Satan, says Rashi, has any kind of shlita throughout the course of the entire year. He can be shelet, he can lead us chas v'sholom astray, but Yom Kippur he doesn't have any control. And then he writes, Hasatan, the Satan, is Begamatria Shin Samach Dalet, 364. Yom Echad Kosim Aminyan Yom Eisachamo, one day less than the solar calendar. Omol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levak HaMishpat Kiva Shegiyah Mekipurim. So the God himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, actually invites him always to weigh in and give Eitzah, give counsel in the actual Mishpat that might go on. But when Yom Kippur comes along, and he sees, he sees Klal Yisrael standing there on their feet, and they're standing barefoot like Malachim, etc., etc., and all wearing white, etc., then he says, Ein loy rishus adabra. He's rendered absolutely speechless. It's Rashi himself. So in other words, on Yom Kippur, even the Pesha Yisrael that are standing there, davening together with us, the Satan has no shlito, has no power, he has no place. He's non-existent, as it were, on actual Yom Kippur itself. So, regardless of any other point in time throughout the course of the year, right now, on the Matin L'Spalah Marvayana. So let's look at the story, just to really understand the rationale behind this. A famous story about one very famous Pesha Yisrael. The Gemara Chagiga, Daf Tezvav. Maisa Ba'acher. We know the story of Acher, who is riding a horse on Shabbos. And Rameir is following behind him, and he's learning Torah from him, etc., etc. And then Acher turns around when they reach Tchum Shabbos, and he says, I've counted the paces of my horse, the walking, etc. You now have to return. In other words, that's it. We've reached Tchum Shabbos. So Rabbi Meir, who always learned from Acher, wanted to seize the opportunity. And metaphorically speaking, he said to him, you also need to return. And he meant in the context of tshuva. And Acher then said to him, Elisha ben Abu, then looked to him and said to him, Kvar amati l'chai, I already told you, Shemaiti me'achayre ha'pargud, I heard me'achayre ha'pargud, Shuvu bonim shayvavim chutz me'acher. Everyone, all children, all backsliding children can return, chutz me'acher except for Acher. That's the way the Gemara, Talmud, Bavli, and Chagigo actually tells the story. The Talmud Yerushalmi actually has an interesting, slight variation in the version of the actual story. Because there, when Rabbi Meir, he tells Rabbi Meir, go back, we've reached Tum Shabbos, and I've counted the paces, Rabbi Meir tells him also to return. So then he says, in the words of the Talmud Yerushalmi, Hayisi Eivr Lefnei Kedesh HaKadoshim, gives us more detail. And he says, I was actually, when he says in the Bavli, I was Me'achayre HaPargud. Where was that? Where? What? When? So the Yerushalmi actually says, Hayisi Eivr Lefnei Kedesh HaKadoshim Reichev Al Susi B'yoyim HaKippurim Shechol L'yoyis B'Shabbos. I was riding on my horse in the very area behind the Har HaBayis, opposite where the Kodesh HaKadoshim stood. And it was on Yom Kippur, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, V'Shamayti, and then I heard a voice emanating from there saying, Shuvu Bonim Shevovim, Chutz Me'alisha Ben Abu. I said, I heard that voice that says again, return all backsliding children, but not chutz me'akher, chutz me'Elisha ben Abuya. So, the most obvious question before anything else is, what's pshat? How come he would have heard such a voice? First of all, Yom Kippur. We're supposed to be able to include every single person. Why would a voice, a baskal, or whatever, come out and suddenly say that he can't do teshuva? What happened to this principle? Besides the fact, Medrash Tehillim actually tells us very categorically, Shari tshuva ein ninolon lo'ilo, that the gates of tshuva are never closed whatsoever. Citing an entire pasuk comparing tshuva to the yam. And just like the yam, the sea itself is never closed and always available for anyone to go ahead and wash themselves in it. That's the reality with tshuva. That the kol shasha adam reis alas is tshuva kodesh baruch makaba. And never mind the medrash, it's actually brought lahalacha. Rambam actually says very categorically in Hilchos Tshuva and Perek Gimel, Ein lecha dover she'emid b'pnei tshuva. There's nothing that gets in the way of tshuva. Afilu kofar be'ikar kol yama. Even if you're kofar be'ikar all the days, u'bachrein ha'shav yeshel chelek l'olam haba. And in that last moment you do tshuva, you still have a chelek l'olam haba. Then quoting a pasuk, Shalom Shalom l'rochim b'akosav, Amar Shem r'fosiv, and so on and so forth. And then also the Rambam himself quotes the pasuk. And he says that even if you, whether you do the tshuva openly or whether you do the tshuva in secret, as it says in the pasuk, shuvu bonim shayimovit, the same pasuk. So it begs the question: why was he told that he can't do tshuva? So first of all, we have two different versions over here: the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And the Stechemet famously tells us, "Machlek is Bavli Yerushalmi, Alocha kiri Bavli." So when you have, well, in other words, what did he hear? Did he hear Chutz Me'acher? Did he hear Chutz Me'Elisha ben Abuah? So Allah is Kebavli. He heard the words Chutz Me'acher. So the point over here is this. First of all, he didn't even go looking for the voice. It doesn't say that he was looking and he was looking and wanted to do tshuva or whatever, seemingly. I mean, he wasn't looking for a voice. So why all of a sudden is there this voice in the first instance coming to antagonize him? And second of all, what's the beginning? Shuvu bonim shevavim. Shuvu bonim shevavim, as we just saw from the Rambam, is actually a welcoming. It's endearment. It's telling us that you can all return. So first it starts off in a nice, sweet tone, as it were, encouraging. It then says, chutz me'acher. So what's pshat? Pshat is, where was he? When he heard that, me'acher pagir, where did he hear that call from? It wasn't on Yom Kippur drinking coffee in Tel Aviv. He was Dafker riding his horse on the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He came and he made a deliberate, conscious decision to nevertheless, even though he's on his horse, and even though it's Shabbos and Yom Kippur, he's riding his horse, Dafker hovering around the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's where he's being drawn to. That's where his neshama is dragging him to. And the reality is this, and this is a vart, I think it's quoted from the name of Soloveitchik, every single one of us has a true self, Elisha ben Abuah, Balashina Yerushalmi, and every single one of us has an Acher. In other words, like they say, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. We all have a true self, and we all have a part of us that is not our true self. In other words, you sometimes do something and then you apologize, say, I'm really sorry, I wasn't myself yesterday. What does it mean, I wasn't myself yesterday? It means what we all know to be true. There is a true self. The true self is the Etzem and Neshama, your true essence, that really wants to do the right thing, that wants to do Ratzon Kainai, wants to do the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then there's the Acher. And then there's the other side of you, the foreign entity, that sometimes looks to very deliberately lead you astray. But that's not the real you. And the voice that was coming out, Me'acher Apagah, the chutz means except for, but chutz also means outside. And the voice that was coming out was saying, Shuvu bonim shevavim, everyone, halacha, can return from wherever they may have been backsliding. And how do you achieve that shuva? Chutz, by kicking out the acher, the external, the foreign element that might actually exist within you. A yid mitzad atzmai, from his own core and essence, is not shayach to any principle of chet. And the chesroinos and every other bit of struggle that we might actually have is because of what's chutz mimenu, what is on the outside of us. In other words, we've been put here in a guf gashmi, in a physical world, in a physical body. So there's a lot of allurement and there's a lot of chesroinos. But at the end of the day, that's not who we really are at our core essence. Reb Shlomo Halberstam, the Baba Vareba, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, after the war, he came to the Lower East Side where he started to build again. Everything was completely decimated, his whole citizens, his whole family, etc. So he looked to start up again. And he opened up a shul on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And he started off literally with barely a minion, and he just literally scrambled together on a material list, following Marvayonim, a whole range of just different people. Men, most of them who came from very from homes from before the war, but who are we to judge after all of their experiences? And then there was the Bal Tfila, the guy who was a chazan from before the war and went through his own struggles and went through his own crisis, and yeah, he had a nice voice. So he continued to lead the davening every Shabbos. And over time, the minion itself actually built up, and then one Shabbos, he's not there. Hey, Nenu. So he turns to his son and he says, can you please go find him? Where is he? We want to start davening without him. So he goes out, he goes looking for him, and he finds him sitting in a park nearby, reading a newspaper and smoking a cigarette. So he gets shocked, he goes back. His father, Shlomo Halberstam, looks at him and says, no, you found him? He goes, yeah. He goes, no, so where is he? He goes, what do you mean, where is he? He goes, he didn't want to say. And finally, his father persisted, and he says he's sitting in the park, and he's smoking a cigarette. So he looks at him, and he says, he's not smoking a cigarette. He goes, what do you mean, Tata? I saw him myself, he's smoking a cigarette. And he looked him very firmly in the eyes, and says, he's not smoking. The Nazis, the Germans, and the Germans are machshamam, they reichen it. It's they who are really smoking. He says, go back and tell them that I want him to come back now and dumb. So he went back out there, and he says, my father insists. He goes, did you tell him where you found me and how you found me? He says, yeah. He says, well, okay, I don't feel right coming right now from a cigarette to go daven shacharis and shul. So I'll be back next Shabbos. And Kachabe came back next Shabbos. And over a period of time, of course, the Bob of Chassidus rebuilt and moved eventually to Borough Park, etc. But he disappeared. No one really saw him. He was no longer the Bal Tfila, etc. 30 years later, so coming in for a yechidus, a private audience with the Baba Vareba, comes an elderly man with a yarmulke, medals, and his younger son. And he comes inside and he introduces himself and he introduces his son. And he says, do you remember me? He says, I was the Bal Tfila from 30 years ago. He says, Baruch Hashem, I have bonim, ubnei bonim, oiskim batayro, b'mitzvah, and my son is getting married, and I'd like to invite the Rebbe, the Baba of a Rebbe, to come, even without the condition, etc., etc. And without missing a beat, the Baba of a Rebbe turns around to his son, who was still a shamus there in the room. He said to him, you see, I told you, it wasn't him who was smoking. It was the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, who were smoking. That's the reason why we say, Onu Matirim Uspalol Imro Vayonim. Because every single individual has the Acher and their true self. And the Avrayonim are just, again, that's the Acher. But now that they're coming into Shul, and they're coming to participate, and they're coming to be part of the actual Minyan, then like Allah itself tells us, like Rashi tells us, like the Mordechai tells us, like they all say, that ultimately they're here now, and that no fast can actually be considered a proper Tainus without the Peshe Yisrael, because Kol Yisrael Reifim Zevazet. And when we ensure to acknowledge that reality, and we ensure to acknowledge that we're all in this, Be'aptus U'Be'achad, then La'alta L'Teshuva, La'alta L'Gulo will be able to have the Chesima Teva and the Gemar Chesima Teva for a Shona Teva Masuka, a year of Geula Amitis Vashlema, true Geula Lonu L'Chol Yisrael V'Neimar. Amen.
Amen.